Welcome to episode 5 for continuing Avatar Fate campaign. In this episode, our guild members have their first meeting with someone from the Ash Keepers.
You guys get to the top, and there is actually a wheelbarrow, a squared wheelbarrow, there near the top of the steps over to the side. Very sturdily made, but as you kind of look, there are a large set of double doors. They appear to be made entirely of obsidian, but they are kind of wide open, pulled out towards you. There is a man in robes that is just covered with something very bright and red, is just laying sprawled out on the ground, looking straight up, eyes wide open, tongue hanging out. From this distance, does not appear to be moving.
Hello there, we brought what you need.
Alrighty, let's see here.
No
response.
We know you must be so shocked and amazed, but we managed to bring it all up here, just by ourselves.
Can I hear? Is the guy dead?
Why don't we set this down for a second? I want to go take a look at him.
I will hold it by myself while he goes to take a look at it.
Okay, so I walk over to the guy, and tongue sticking out. Do I have a sense of life in him?
Go ahead and roll a sense check.
0.
I've got a 3.
Viltan and Yoshiro approach, figure laying on his back, staring blankly up at the ceiling. You look up, there's nothing really spectacular at the ceiling. You look down, the chest does not move with breath. You're a little confused. He is covered in ashes, and what appears to be blood is just kind of splattered all over him and a little bit on the ground around.
Do I believe he can be healed?
Viltan kind of bends over and looks, and Yoshiro bends over and goes to poke him. Viltan takes a couple of steps back as Yoshiro pokes him.
What are you doing?
The man jumps up with a start. Go ahead and, I guess just Yoshiro, make a willpower check. As Viltan 4 rolled high enough to know it was coming.
Nice.
Okay. You jump out of the way in time as the man starts. His gray hair kind of scattering ash everywhere. Looks about very wildly. He says, "What? What is it? What's going on?
We have a delivery, sir."
You have... Oh, the vase! Yes, wonderful! He stands up and just starts dusting blood and ash off of his robes. You can kind of see they're a dark red plane underneath.
I'm going to laugh and walk off to the side.
Hey, you got blood on you or something like that.
He said, "Oh, yes, yes. The butcher was kind enough to lend it to me. You have to go for authenticity and all of that."
Butchers are useful for if you need some blood.
Yes, yes, I thought this too. I have been trying so hard for this reenactment, for the spiritual reach out, and nothing seems to have succeeded. I thought I must be lacking the blood. But apparently the pig's blood is not quite enough, and I don't have it in me to seek out anything more authentic or harm myself.
And what are you reenacting exactly?
Oh, the death of Phobio, of course.
Don't you guys know anything? I'm saying that to these two, not to the guy.
Oh, of course, the death of Phobio. Who doesn't know about that?
Yes, yes. One of the last surviving avatars. We have been trying over centuries to reach out and connect with the spirits of the avatar, trying to mimic them in meditation in form of their final moments. Of course, we have met no success. Ever. But we keep trying, hoping that one day. I thought to myself, since Phobio died on these very steps. Well, these stones, anyway. I thought, you know, the exact positioning. Perhaps I did not rotate myself enough. Or perhaps he died face down. It's very difficult when no one actually knows what really happened.
Or maybe the avatar wasn't a pig, maybe?
This could have something to do with it.
You're looking for some avatar blood?
Well, since there hasn't been an avatar in known history, well, what the wonderful Water Nation refers to as known history, anyway, we wouldn't be able to acquire anything like that.
But it, this is
side business. You have come with the urn, yes? Please, set it on that wheelbarrow over there.
I walk on over and I proudly put it down there.
I'm going to be close by just to, in case he, you know, needs assistance.
One last physique check.
Two.
Alright. You set it down, the wheelbarrow tips a little bit, and you kind of catch it and steady it out, and you are good. You try it now with the squared wheelbarrow, and much easier to maneuver, and wheel in. The man kind of gestures you to follow him inside.
How many people are here?
Moves.
Just
are
us
you guys
four?
Going inside?
I am.
Yeah, I'm going inside.
Ride on in.
I mean, if you don't go inside, you don't get paid.
You go inside, there is... I mean, you're walking into a huge museum. It is a bit dark. There is a lot of dust on things. It is very empty of people, but filled with all sorts of artifacts, tapestries, old furniture,
pretty nice.
Paintings, murals, mosaics, all sorts of things. In fact, it's kind of hard to make sense of how things are organized. In some ways, it looks more like a storage warehouse than an actual museum.
I love it.
But he kind of leads you down one, you know, hall or walkway between two rows of artifacts until you get to a place where there's space for the urn. And he asks you to set the wheelbarrow down and says, yes, now I assume you will be needing the payment.
You assume correctly.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, then. He kind of reaches into his robes and pulls out a small scroll and hands it to you. Because here is the letter of credit, as was promised.
I take the scroll and inspect it.
All righty. Go ahead and roll... I was going to say that's actually a status check.
Okay. Wow, I'm just rolling outstanding today. That would be a minus one.
A minus one total?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, totally looks legit.
Okay.
You cash that into the bank and you'll be good to go.
Now, do I know that it looks okay? I know that they were expecting a delivery, so...
You can roll it as well.
That's a status of 6.
It is a legal... I mean, it's a legal document, a letter of credit. It will get you paid at a Fire Nation station, the amount of 24 gold pieces, which was promised.
Mm-hmm.
You do know that normally letters of credit are not accepted as payment for these kind of jobs. The White Lotus kind of frowns on that and
yes.
Says, you know, cash only is their kind of standing policy. You also know that no actual paperwork, which we discussed before, proving that this is the individual accepting that is supposed to accept the aid, has been presented. So,
okay,
he might be legit. I mean, this is definitely... the museum where it's going. He just doesn't really seem to be following proper procedural protocol.
Ah. I'm going to try to speak up kind of... Like, you know, maybe it's different from when I was in the Crimson Water Lilies, but you might be missing a few pieces of paperwork there. That's, you know... Maybe.
That is a good point. So I'm going to turn to the guy and ask him, so do you have the proper identification?
Proper identification for...
For the recipient of the urn, for the person who made the contract?
Oh, well, the headmaster would have all the identification paperwork's required, as I'm only receiving this on his behalf. I can write you a note or my name on a piece of paper, if that would help.
Well, I would think if the headmaster had sent you here on his behalf, that he would have sent you with the proper paperwork.
Well, I'm sorry, we don't usually receive deliveries such as this. Most are more charitable donations. I can take you to see the curator if you would like.
That would be excellent.
All right. Who all's coming?
I will. I want to see what he's got up there. And plus, apparently, I need to... Anyway, yeah, I'll go up there.
Yeah, why not? If everybody else is going, I'm going to.
Okay. So all three of you going up?
I feel bad for these water lilies.
All right. And I assume you're leaving the wheelbarrow there since you're going upstairs?
Wait, is the urn staying in the wheelbarrow?
That's what I was just wondering.
I'm just asking.
Should someone stay here with the urn?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not in the crimson water lilies anymore.
He started walking up the stairs.
I will prove my manly prowess by holding the wheelbarrow up.
He is very prowess.
Yeah.
And I guess in the meantime, I'll admire what's around. I guess try to see how authentic everything is.
And I'm going to pat Oran on the shoulder, and we know it's in good hands with you.
Okay, so the three of you start heading up the stairs while Oran stays behind. Oran, if you want to roll an artistry check just to get a sense of what all is there, feel free.
Okay, six.
Nice.
Looking about, you see several tapestries. Everything around, after you study it for a while, the tapestries, the carvings, everything seems to be centered around the avatar, which makes sense, as that's one of the biggest things that the Ash Keepers are dedicated to. Since the avatar has not been reborn in anyone's lifetime that's living now, or generations past, it's been quite a while. Not a lot's really known except for, you know, what's told in stories, and so, you know, the Ash Keepers, in their desire to preserve history, you know, anything that mentions the Avatar is known to be historical and therefore preserved. You can see very beautiful portrayals of Airbender bending snow down on a large ship, a giant woman of blue energy wrestling against a giant demon of slightly different colored energy. You see a earthbender in green robes making trees grow.
Earth energy.
just a lot of various depictions. You even see a couple of bending scrolls that just kind of, you know, depict old methods that waterbender, firebender, and even an earthbender would use for various techniques back when there were, you know, formal schools for bending.
Any of the earthbending information look like something I would know already, or like be something suggestively new?
There's just one earthbending scroll, and the top one looks like a very standard, take a strong stand, push, and move a wave of earth kind of up. Then there's a standard stomp on the ground to make a boulder pop out and hit it to send it flying. But there, it appears to go into some advanced moves that you are not at all familiar with.
I guess while I'm holding the wheelbarrow, would it be possible for me to use research to see, I guess, to learn a little more about it?
That is exactly what you would use, yes.
Negative one. I didn't think I could do two minus threes in a day.
Wow. Unless you're going to try and change that with another fate point.
No, it's not worth it.
You know, this is a type of scroll that a master would pass on to its student when it takes over the school. It's very complicated. The more you study it, the more you know you could benefit greatly from this if, you know, you happen to be an earthbender. But, you know, it would take more than just an hour or two. This would take months of studying the scroll in order to learn some of these masterful techniques. There's even some, you know, towards the bottom, it looks like they're bending things other than earth. One seems to be bending metal, another seems to be bending lava. Another seems to be bending some sort of invisible force. It's inspiring in some ways to know that, hey, you know, earthbenders could do some really amazing things that nobody talks about anymore. But with the exception of either copying the scroll or taking the scroll, it's probably not going to benefit you much more than it already has. We move on to the rest of the group. The man in the ashen robes and slightly bloodstained kind of leads you to the top where there is a set of offices. You're on a balcony, technically, that you can kind of overlook and see the entirety of this museum. And from this view, there is a vast array of collections. You can actually see above the different rows and such. They've done a really good job of collecting a lot of artifacts over the years. Even one large statue that looks like it is you know, an avatar with a shaved head holding a staff. The man that's leading you kind of knocks on the door. Curator? Curator, are you in there? Kind of opens the door. Curator? Oh dear. He kind of turns back to you two and says, he seems to be meditating. Shall we wake him?
Well, if we're going to complete this delivery, I suppose we ought to.
Very well, very well. He kind of pulls open the door and snaps his fingers, and several lamps in the room suddenly light up. So he is definitely a firebender.
I'm going to act impressed.
You see a very old man in a very long, twisted gray beard laying on the floor on his back, eyes wide open, tongue hanging out, covered in ash and blood, a little bit of blood splattered on the ground around him. There is a desk set of papers, and the man that led you in kind of walks over and says, let's see here. Yes, here we are. And he kind of pulls out a key and hands it to, I guess he'd actually hand it to Yoshiro.
Okay.
I'm standing back. I'm standing back.
And kind of points to the chest and says, well, you know, if you'd rather the actual money instead of the credit, it's in the chest there. I'm not actually permitted to wake up the curator, but if one of you would like to, feel free. And he's kind of looking over all the papers, get it out on the desk. Let's see. And kind of pulls one of them up and kind of hands it to you. Is this the official seal of identification?
I take a look at it.
Okay.
Is it what I'm expecting?
I'm not looking.
It is a letter of, or I guess it's papers of identification for the curator. It doesn't actually mention anything about the receipt of the vase. It's for a different delivery. But it is the exact same seal and signature that you would be expecting.
Do I sense any deception from this guy?
Go ahead and roll a sense.
One.
He seems very nervous about the curator. but he doesn't look like he's going to attack you. For one, he's just overall really hard to read. He's either doing a great job of leading you on, or he's just really clueless about what he's supposed to be doing.
Hey, Joshua, my character that has been there for a while, he's used to seeing them laying out and doing this avatar thing, right?
It's not unheard of. They're constantly trying. They're known for doing crazy stuff.
I've seen them do crazy things in the weeks I've been here, so this is not unnormal.
Yeah. Okay. You've not seen the curator in the weeks you've been here.
No, I have not.
No. But, I mean, from everything that you know, this could be normal.
Okay. I'm not paying it much attention.
Okay.
I'm going to tell him, you know, this is from another delivery, but it's not for the urn.
Oh, dear. I could fetch, you know, the headmaster. Then we wouldn't have to wake the curator. And maybe he could more officially accept it.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
Okay. He kind of goes and starts rummaging through the desk until he pulls out a bell. He says, here we are. One moment, please. And he kind of steps just out of the doorway and just kind of starts ringing it. Oran, you start hearing the chime of a bell. And you kind of look up, and you can tell it's coming from the balcony, but from the angle, you can't really see who's doing it.
Can I tell, like, how high it is? I'm guessing it's from the ceiling?
Yeah, it's up towards the ceiling, which is a good 45 feet up.
I'm just going to shrug and keep at the wheelbarrow and try to look cool.
Okay. Are the other guys doing anything?
I'm just watching.
Okay.
I'm looking around the room.
Okay, so you looking for anything particular? Or?
No, just any. If there's anything that stands out or looks odd.
Okay. I mean, you know, the guy on the floor, chest isn't moving, doesn't look like he's breathing. The papers are very messy, kind of scattered about. There is a wooden chest there on top. It doesn't look like anyone else is in here. The blood on the guy is a little bit drier than the one out front, so he may have been doing this for longer, but it's still got enough wetness to it that it hasn't dried completely.
Hey, Joshua, I got a question.
Sure.
What I want to be doing is I feel like my character's trying to watch over Yashira and make sure nobody takes advantage of him.
Okay.
Would I even do that mechanically, or would it be like a... I don't, like, well, anyway, would there be something I would do mechanically to cover that? Or do I not even worry about it?
It depends on how you're looking over him. You say you're trying to make sure nobody's taking advantage of him?
Yeah, because before, like, they didn't... I feel bad for these guys, because I used to be in the Crimson Water Lilies, and from their interactions, it seems like it's their first mission, so I want them to succeed, so I'm trying to...
Gotcha.
I'm trying to, like, just make sure that no. You get the idea.
Yeah. Okay, that would be either a sense or an instinct.
Okay, I'm just a three. Just to watch over and make sure no one's taking advantage of him. And
okay.
I like the fact that he was honest.
This isn't really going as well as, you know, mission should. It was supposed to be a simple, straightforward. And considering all things, the Ash Keepers really should be better organized than this.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. It's not you guys' fault that things aren't going well. And, you know, it almost has the sense of someone's trying to sabotage you. Or them, in this case. So it just kind of makes you a little wary.
Is there anything... How could I be socially cordial to this guy and yet push him to do the right thing?
Towards the guy that's ringing the bell?
Actually, yeah, I'll wait for the other guy to appear then. So, I guess if somebody comes in, then I could be more forceful.
That would be a sincerity to push people to do the right thing.
Okay.
So, the guy is ringing the bell for a while, and finally, headmaster, right this way, and kind of gestures. And you see an old man kind of hobbling into the doorway and comes in. The other guy kind of shuts the door behind, you know, the old man, who says,
"Can I help you?"
I'm going to head nod towards you, Yoshiro.
Yes, we're here with the Crimson Water Lilies to deliver an urn, and we're supposed to receive some paperwork upon receipt of the item, just to make sure everything is authentic.
Very well, very well. He starts patting his robes and kind of pulls out, you know, a parchment and says, "This is my acceptance letter of donations. It should suffice," and he hands it to you.
It doesn't suffice, does it?
It is a blanket acceptance all, so it actually will work for this case.
Oh, okay. So
basically, if things go wrong now, the responsibility is on him and the Ash Keepers, because it's an official acceptance of responsibility note, but a blanket one, not a specific one.
So we don't, well, they don't need the curator to do anything, or do they still?
Only if they want to get paid in cash. Of course, he was given the key as well.
Mr. Yoshiro, if you do mind, you can stop me, but according to the deals that were made by the Crimson Water Lilies, and we all know that they can be very tiresome, and do they call themselves the Fire Tribe or the Ash Keepers?
They call themselves the Ash Keepers here on the island. But
and you Ash Keepers have been very nice in letting me, you know, trade goods and help you with this particular thing and others, but, you know, rules are rules, and we must follow them, so, I mean, it is only right for everyone involved if the curator would be the one to accept them. And if one of you could awake him, I think he would understand in the long run.
Oh, well, that's perfectly fine. I can see that the two of you are trying to be very professional. And he starts kind of hobbling over on his short cane and looking and says, Do you know where the curator might be?
It's not the guy pretending to be dead in the middle of the floor?
He kind of looks at you, squints, pulls out a pair of spectacles, and Bling says, "Oh, terribly sorry. Let's have a look at him," and starts hobbling over. Meanwhile, Aran, the little guy that you'd talked to before, comes down the stairs and waves at you and says, "It's all right. We've got everything sorted. Do you they're getting the paperwork signed now and everything. Do you think that you could help me with the setting the urn in its proper place?"
Yeah. Okay.
Well, go ahead and roll a physique check.
Nice.
You are doing incredible. you know what? You know what? I'm curious. Let's see how this goes.
What's the total?
Like minus one.
Oh, geez. It's very poor.
Thank you for listening to episode 5 of our continuing Avatar Fate campaign. If you'd like to check out other episodes, you can do that at burneverythinggaming.podbean.com. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbay, Podcaster, everywhere, it's on the internet, whatever. Google, Bing it, you got it. You can also listen to episodes in our Dresden Files campaign, our Star Trek campaign. We have one-shots in a fantasy setting, a mystery whodunit, a jewel heist, Secrets of Nim, whatever, just check it out. Over at our website at burneverythinggaming.com or the Podbean or whatever, you know, you're smart. If you'd like to help us make better episodes, so you can hear us better. You can also decide what kind of things we face, what kind of one-shots we do. You can do that over at our Patreon. That'll help us get better equipment. And also, dances, maybe? I think we agreed to dances. Like, just ourselves. I mean, if you did enough, maybe we'd dance with you. I don't know how that works. Anyway, I hope you keep enjoying.